Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by Cashfly.
Today on Know-How,
Synology Madness.
Four. Welcome to Know-How. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and upgrade. And there's Jason Howell casually walking onto the set. Mr. Howell, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm ready to open up their minds and pour in the knowledge like slime.
The synology.
Slimeology.
Yeah. What's this about? So we've been doing synology for a long time now.
We have, and we've gotten really good response. The audience likes it. I mean, it's nice to build things. We've been slipping in little maker products here and there. But every once in a while, it's good to take something that people can readily buy and then just turn it into something wonderful. So far in our Synology Madness series, we've shown people how they could use their NAS to access their network remotely.
Yeah.
We've shown people how they can use it to create a home surveillance system with network-connected video cameras.
That's right.
We've shown them how they can use it to replace very popular cloud solutions like Google Photos or Drive or Docs, all from the power of their Synology. But there's one thing that we promised them that we have to deliver before I leave.
And that's to create a system that will effectively waste their time in the best way possible.
Absolutely. Of course, we're talking about cutting the cord. This has been the dream of people for a long, long time. How can you get rid of that cable? How can you stop paying that monthly fee by combining different ways of getting your content? You probably already have Netflix. You probably already have Amazon Prime. Maybe you've got Hulu. But a lot of people complain that they can't get sort of the local programming.
Yeah. Right?
Well, what if I told you that there was a way to get on-demand, time-shifted, play-shifted, over-the-air, high-definition programming recorded automatically that you can access from anywhere in the world?
I'd say you're crazy.
I am crazy, but that doesn't mean it's
that's
a lie.
Not the point.
That's not the point. We're actually going to use something that we've already shown. We showed people how to use Plex so that they could access their media from their phones no matter where they are in the world. You combine that with the Quick Connect feature, which we showed off in Synology Madness Part 1, and it really means that you've got an address that will always get you back to the stuff that you've bought, that you already collect, right? But Plex, if you buy the full pass, by the way, and I'm assuming you have that already because you just buy the lifetime once and you're good to go, they also include a feature called Live TV or Live DVR, which allows you to connect a tuner to your NAS, to your box, whatever it might be, and collect, record automatically over-the-air programming and record it onto your box so that it can be accessed like any other piece of media.
Yeah, this is something I've been meaning to do for a long time because we got rid of Comcast probably about a year and a half ago. Just kind of realized, like, why are you paying that much if you hardly ever watch it? And the thing that we really miss is the local programming, maybe the time, the stuff that, that you would normally have time-shifted, sports events, whatever, the Olympics. It's all there. It's free. It's out in the air. But, you know, if you don't have a setup to either catch that signal, which we need to install an antenna on the top of our house in order to do it. We haven't done that yet. But then also to record it, because we've gotten so accustomed, so used to time-shifting things now that it's really hard to, like, get back into this routine of, oh, well, I got to sit down right at 8 o'clock tonight if I want to see that thing.
And that's so weird, right? Because that is definitely is a generational thing.
Yeah,
we
totally
both,
is.
Everyone in the studio. Oh, by the way, we have a guest. We have Cobby from Pearl. He's come up from San Francisco to watch the last live episode I do of Know How. He's got some cool stuff you're going to want to check out later.
All right.
But it's a generational thing because we remember the must-see TV, right?
Yeah.
If you wanted to catch that episode of Friends, well, either you watched it live or maybe you might catch it in syndication
a year later,
right? No, that's like today's generation, that would be unheard of. That'd be like, why would you do that? It goes on Netflix. I can binge it. It goes on Amazon, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, we're going to reach out to the younger generation and let them feel our pain. And the way we're going to do that is by setting up Plex as our network DVR, a digital video recorder. Now, this is also really good if you want to save money because, of course, you're not paying for over-the-air programming.
Right.
Huge caveat, before we start this, This will also work if you want to use your cable box. If you have a cable system, you can use this to do your DVR as well. It doesn't have to be OTA. Also, since it is OTA, it's very, very, very much limited to what kind of reception you can get.
Absolutely.
If you're in the middle of a big city, probably pretty good. If you're out in the boonies, probably not so great. There are some spots where you can get three channels. There are some spots like Las Vegas where literally you can get about 100 over-the-air channels, which is amazing.
Wow.
So check with your local provider, see who's broadcasting in your area before you shell out the cash for this.
Mm-hmm.
Want to dive into this?
Let's do it.
Okay. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to need a NAS. Of course, we're doing Synology Madness, so we're using this Synology 1517 Plus. Burke, if you go to that first link, this is a list of all the compatible Synology NASs. Not all of the NASs will support Plex. Not all of them will support Plex live DVR. So if your box is on this list, it will show you what it can record in. Can it record in SD, HD, 4K, 4K UHD? And it all depends on the kind of hardware. The more hardware you've got, the more memory you've got, the faster your processor is, the more it will support. So this is a relatively high-end box. This can basically do everything. And, of course, they've got everything. A QNAP, Netgear, Synology. So, again, find your model. Just make sure it's on there. Or if you are looking to buy one of these after watching all of the Synology Madness episodes, just make sure you buy one that has all the proper boxes greened out. Wow, that makes sense?
There's a lot of stuff
on
there.
That's a lot, yeah. Even
did
the
you compile
digitals.
That list?
No. Okay. That's Synology putting that together. Yeah. So they did it, so there definitely isn't a mistake. If I did it, would be huge mistakes. The second thing you're going to need is a Plex Pass. And the reason why I don't link to this is wait for a sale, specifically Black Friday. They always do a great sale on Black Friday. A couple of years back, I bought a lifetime Plex Pass for like $50,
mm-hmm.
And they normally sell for $100+. And that just means you pay once and you always own it. Any update, any upgrade, you own it. Spend it on a lifetime pass. Don't do a month to month. Even if it means you have to wait a while to get that sale, it is totally worth it. Because if you've seen some of the cooler functions of Plex, you're definitely going to want it.
Hmm.
The third thing you're going to need is some sort of tuner. If we're doing over the air, it means we need something that can take those signals over the air and put them into a format that the NAS can actually understand.
Right.
First way to do that is to get a USB tuner on your NAS. And there's a lot of those that you can buy. They're basically software-defined radios that you can tune to specific frequencies and therefore pull down the programming. Let me right now say, don't do that.
Okay.
Those are I know they're cheap. I mean, you can get them for $7.
And just plugs a new USB port on the back of the NAS?
Yeah. A couple of problems with that, though. You're going to have compatibility issues where suddenly like it just won't recognize it, and you'll have to remove it and reconnect it. Well, if that happens right before it records your favorite show, you're going to be upset.
Absolutely.
The second thing is there is a limit on how far away a USB device can be from its host. And the further you get, the more issues you're going to have, which means the best place for your NAS, which is probably a closet that's central to your networking kit, is probably not close enough to the best place to receive reception
mm-hmm.
for the over-the-air signal. What you really need is something that can kind of divorce the two. Allows you to put your NAS in the closet, allows you to put your antenna like up in the attic or outside,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is this. This is an HD Home Run Connect Duo. If you go and go to the link for this, it's about $80. These are not that expensive. And this is actually a dual tuner unit, which means I can record and watch or watch two channels live if I wanted to. It allows me to take in a single antenna input and then tune two tuners off of that. And then you see that little Ethernet port. That's because it's connected back to my NAS via the network. So as long as my network gets to the place where I get best reception, that's where this HD Home Run is going to go.
Hmm.
Yeah. So very inexpensive, actually kind of fun to play with.
Now, they even have up to four tuners.
If you really needed to record four things at the same time, you could totally do that. You're going to need some sort of HD antenna. That big UHF antenna in your attic probably won't work anymore. These are super cheap. I mean, this one's like $20. Just look around, find one. They all work the same. Just find one that's in your price range that performs relatively well. I'm pretty sure we're going to have problems receiving inside this building because we're inside the building.
Yeah, you're supposed to usually mount these like on a window or something, right?
External window. Find the tower.
Does it have to be line of sight?
It is line of sight.
And that's where like I feel like I've tried these in my home and they've failed miserably, in Petaluma especially.
Yeah, That was one of the know-hows I wanted to do, which was finding the best way to get HD OTA, because it's digital. It's not like analog.
Right.
Analog was, well, if you're kind of getting it, then it's, maybe it's a little fuzzy, but digital, you're
it's
either getting it or you're not.
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, we've all seen that digital picture where it just, the fuzz is it cutting out for a couple seconds and then freezing pixels.
It's horrible. Unwatchable.
It's unwatchable. That's absolutely unwatchable. But the best way to do this is actually to take your panel antenna up to the roof of your house, and you basically just sort of do a 360 with it to find what direction is best to be pointing at, because you want line of sight to whatever is broadcasting, and that's going to change the channels that you pick up. Some of the best setups I've seen use super expensive antennas that actually have multiple panels that do the diversity inside the antennas. But I mean, then you're talking about a $500 antenna. This is an inexpensive project.
Right.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and take this and connect it to our network. The way that we're going to do that is, first, we're going to hook up our antenna. So this does need an antenna. I'm going to go ahead and connect it to the HD panel antenna that I've got here. Then I need to have it hooked up to Ethernet. It's only 10/100. It doesn't need to be gigabit. You're not actually pushing a lot of data with this. And you might think you are, but not a whole lot. And then power. And that's it. It's really that simple. Three connections: antenna, network, power. We're good to go. So this is going to go ahead and boot up. I've already got the Plex plugin connected on my NAS, because we played with it previously.
Yep.
So, Burke, if you go and go to this computer, by switching with the button that you would push, there you go. Okay, so now in the package center, I've got Plex installed. Right here. One thing to remember about Plex, and I hate to tell you this, folks, it does not automatically update well. And this is not a Synology problem. This is a Plex problem. And so what you'll see every once in a while is you'll see Plex, when you run it, will say out of date. And so what you have to do is you have to download the new update through the Plex installation and then install it through the Synology installation. It's kind of a pain in the butt. But every time they release a new update, it always fixes a bunch of stuff. So as you can tell, here's some stuff that I've already recorded. So this was already recorded over the air. And you'll notice it has thumbnails and everything. And that's because the Plex plugin for this will automatically download an EPG, electronic program guide, which is cool. Because rather than having to look at some sort of guide and say, okay, record channel 7 at 6 a.m.,
right.
This is... Well, what's my... Actually, I bet my programming... Yeah. I could say, hey, record every episode of Law & Order. Mm-hmm. Or record every episode of ABC News. It's just like setting a DVR.
And is that guide is managed by Plex? So that's part of what you're paying for?
There are a lot of different entities that will manage guides. In fact, I manage my own guide. That's what... I have it set up on my server, so it's pulling XML files from different sites.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Right. But let's go ahead and show you how to do this, because I've gone ahead and deleted this sooner, so it does not even show up in Plex right now. Let's take you from the very, very beginning. Now, once you've got your HD home run connected properly, and you've got your NAS connected properly, you need to go to Settings. Settings, make sure you're in the Server tab, and then I'm going to go down to the selection for Live TV and DVR. Now, this automatically recognizes that I don't have one set up right now. So if I click Setup Plex DVR, boom, it's already found it. So it's looked through its network and said, hey, there's a TV tuner. It's from a Silicon, what is it? Silicon Dust.
Dust.
So Silicon Dust, the HD Home Run Connect Duo. So I said, yes, that's the one I want to connect. But also this tells you I can have multiples.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had to do this at my parents' home in Las Vegas because... three of the channels they really wanted were best received with the panel antenna on the south side of the house. And four of the channels they really wanted were best received by a panel on the east side of the house.
Yeah, because they're not always coming from the same direction. Yeah,
exactly.
Right?
So
yeah, that makes sense.
We had two tuners, two antennas. Plex detected them all.
Yeah.
All right. So here we go. I'm going to continue. Now, I need to tell it that it's coming in through the antenna. I could have this come in through cable, but that kind of defeats the point of trying to do a cord cutting measure. I do need to set my country. In this case, it is the United States. Now, I could scan the channels, and in fact, I probably should. I'm betting it's not going to find any channels, though. Actually, let's do this. inside a building like this, there's a very good possibility it's not receiving anything. I'll give it its best chance. I'll hang this over the know-how board. Maybe that will work.
But it would be line of sight. Like, how on earth would that work?
Well, I mean, some of those frequencies can penetrate. Digital's not as good as doing that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, maybe it will find a weird bounce. I'm honestly not too hopeful.
Yeah, not too hopeful either.
In my house in San Francisco, I actually have two panel antennas on the roof. There's not even a window in the way of the signal.
And those antennas that you have on the roof would look nothing like that, right?
No.
Like they're designed to be on the roof.
They're designed to be on the outside.
Yeah.
Right. They look more like, have you ever seen those boxes on the cellular towers?
Yes.
Yeah, it looks a lot like those.
Okay.
Yeah, they're panel antennas. Mm-hmm. So 86%, 85% of the way through, it's just going channel by channel according to the system in the United States, which is why it's important to, couldn't find any channels.
Yeah, big surprise.
Which is, that's going to be a problem because it needs to find at least some channels. Let's try that again, shall we? Come on, HD Home Run, find a couple. Hey, Jammer B, do me a favor. Hang this someplace. Yeah, yeah.
This Petaluma, man, there's no
channels. There were three. So I scanned yesterday, but I scanned from the office, and I was able to get...
There's windows.
There's windows in that office. I was just able to get a signal or two. Now, again, the best places are near big cities. San Francisco probably has about 26 channels.
Yeah.
Vegas, even more. New York is really, really good. But I've also done this in like Toronto, and Toronto wasn't great.
Yeah, please be careful.
Jammer B's gonna
die. The things Jammer B does for you, Padre.
I know, right? Okay, so now we found three channels.
Nice.
And
three high quality,
super high quality. If you go back to this, they're basically public access. Okay, so Petaluma is one of those places where maybe not such great programming. However, there is another use for this, which is you could buy basic cable, super basic cable, hook this up. And it will actually act as a decent DVR even without a cable box.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So let's go ahead and continue.
That's not a bad idea.
Now, once we've continued, it wants to know, okay, well, where are you located? And the reason why it wants to know where we're located is this is how we do the product guide, programming guide. It needs to know where I live. All right, so I've got the postal code of 94954, which is TWIT. So what it's going to do right now is it's perusing a couple of different servers, just looking for the program guide that's proper for this zip code. Now, if you could do it without this step, but then you would have to manually tell it, okay, I need you to record channel one.
This channel at this time.
And why do that?
Having it tied to a show or something.
This was actually one of the big reasons why people didn't go with sort of a home-brewed box and instead bought DVRs, because DVRs had programming guides.
Absolutely.
Right? Well, now you can kind of get that for free.
Nice.
One caveat, and I'm going to show you how to correct for this later on, but it's not always great in finding the exact timing of programming. You'll find a lot of networks actually start their programming a little early and might end it a little bit later. Mm-hmm. So we do have to adjust based on what they've done for you. Do I start 5 minutes earlier than the program guide says, or do I continue recording for an additional 4 minutes after the program guide says the show stops? Because otherwise you're going to end up with that annoying situation where it will either start after the show is actually
lost
started going.
The first minute or whatever.
Right. Or even more infuriatingly, you lose the last minute. It's like, but that's the conclusion. Wait, hold on.
You're invested at that point.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
So this is telling me, okay, these are the channels that I have. And then it's also going to say, all right, this is the programming that I'm going to download. And it will make sure that I have in my programming guide all the shows that will be on those channels. And the reason why that's important is because eventually I'm going to want to be able to just record those, not just watch. I mean, watching is actually a very small part of this. I want to be able to record the programming on a regular basis. So if I view the guide right now, it's going to go ahead and build it. And while it's building the guide, I'll show you some of the programming that I have already recorded. So I'm connected to the network. This is the Plex plugin, if you go to the overhead. This is the Plex plugin. As you can see, you see the same things that I saw on my laptop. It actually works faster for this because I think the transcoding brings it down so that it's not so big.
Like,
but so here's an episode of Law and Order that I recorded. I'm going to play from the beginning.
Here, let me help you.
So right now it's going out to the internet over the LTE connection and then coming back in through two different routers to the NAS. So this is actually really good for that. So
yeah,
this,
it had a little bit of stuttering at the beginning, but then it found its legs.
Right. Because remember, this is not just streaming from the NAS. It's actually transcoding. So it's
right. It
is modifying the file as it's being played and putting the best size and format for whatever device is playing it. So tablet, a phone, a laptop, a desktop, whatever it might be. And, you know, I can also, if I go back, let me delete that. Raise the brightness?
Yeah.
So normally we're lowering brightness, but let's raise it. How about that? There we go. So one of the other things that you can do is you can actually watch live TV. You can say, go ahead and tune to whatever you've got by going to... No, hold on. Oh, stop playing.
It really wants you to
evidently,
watch
Evidently, it really,
right
really wants me to watch that. So I can go to more, and I can go to live TV and DVR, and it will actually show me. Now, this isn't available because the channels I've got here are really, really weak, so it's not going to do the live TV. It's just enough for us to complete the demo.
Okay.
But normally, I'd be able to watch. So I've got one of these installed right now at my sister's home in Fremont. So when I go to Rome, I'll be able to watch English programming.
Well, not bad.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Now, if I go over to here, this shows me the list of recordings I've already set up. So I told it in San Francisco, I told it to record every Formula One race. And I don't have to individually tag it because it's tagged in the programming guide. I say record anything that says Formula One. Record anything that's ABC News. Record anything that's Scandal. That's for my mom. She loves that show. You know, unfortunately, again, the programming here in Petaluma is not great. This is all I got. Not awesome. But I can play all of these. I can record them. I can send them to other people. They can be transcoded in real time. And this is it.
Nice.
It's a really, really good system. It's tight. Now, one thing I will suggest is when you get yourself an HD home run, get it from a place that you can return it to just in case you can't get any over-the-air programming near you.
Will you already kind of know that, though? Like, is it just kind of better to get the antenna first and test it out, or?
Kind of, but I mean, you really have to get the antenna with the HD home run. Because, I mean, just because you can get a signal on a TV doesn't necessarily mean you can get it on the HD home run. And by the way, there are huge differences in antennas. Start with something cheap. You know, get a $17, $20 one.
Because it might be fine.
It might be fine. But if that doesn't work, it doesn't mean you can't get channels. It just means you might need to spend a tiny bit more in order to get clear reception.
$40, $50,
right?
More
than like
that.
The one I've got on the roof.
Yes.
$300 a pop. But that's just because I was testing for you guys. Because I love you. I do. Seriously. No, all good. All right, so that is Plex. Now, I'm not going to show you because technically I think this falls into a gray area of law. But there are several sites out there, community sites, where people will open their Plex boxes to everyone else around the world. It's one of these, hey,
okay.
I can see your programming, you can see my programming. I actually really like that. That's cool. it uses up a little bit of bandwidth. And again, the legality is kind of questionable.
And in order to participate and see someone else's, you have to be sharing yours?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of these, you can see mine, but you have to make sure yours is available too.
Right. And we're all in this together.
Yeah. And then
the good and the bad.
There are also people out there who will do things like they'll share their Plex. But there's nothing on it. And that's, you're being nasty. That's your douche. You're douche. Yeah, you're douche. All right, so that's Plex.
Cool.
I wanted to do one last bit for Synology Madness.
All right.
Could you bear with me for this one?
Yes.
Okay, so people saw episode one, and they saw us use Quick Connect, which is awesome, because you can use Quick Connect to access your NAS basically from anywhere in the world. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. There was one last thing I did need to show you. Because I teased it. And that is how to fix that annoying problem of it records either too late or too or ends too early.
Is there a setting where you can just say all recordings start 4 minutes before,
yes,
end 4 minutes,
yes,
afterwards?
So if I go to settings, and then I'm going to go to the server tab, I'm going to go back to live DVR and TV, and then there's this little configuration button. So if I click that, hold on. Oh, wait. No, I'm on the wrong one. I need the DVR settings.
DVR settings, right underneath.
There we go. Yeah, there you go. Need that one. There we go.
There you go.
So here I can say record 5 minutes before the start of a program and 5 minutes after. That just makes sure, it guarantees that I'm actually going to catch the program.
For sure.
And you'd be surprised how many programs on network TV don't actually go off on the time they're supposed to. You think they do because you're accustomed, but totally not. Twit's not the only network that has trouble going on time.
We do not go long, ever.
We're early. We always go exactly where when we
start at the top of the hour, we end at the top of the hour.
Or thereabouts.
Perfect. Just a second.
All right, so this came from that episode one where people said Quick Connect is awesome, but they were a little concerned about security. Specifically, it said, that gives me access to my files, but what if I want to use my NAS to protect my traffic? Which I love. Thank you so much for asking that. Because Quick Connect will give me the ability to log back into my NAS, maybe download a couple of my documents, my pictures, upload a couple of files. And that's great. But my traffic is still going over whatever network I'm connected to. If I'm at Starbucks, it's a public Starbucks network. If I'm at an airport, it's public Wi-Fi, right? If you're concerned about security, you can actually use your Synology device to create a VPN, a virtual private network, which encrypts all the traffic from your client, phone, laptop, desktop, all the way back to your Synology device. Now, you can do this on the NAS. Hmm. The problem with doing it on the NAS is you'd have to poke a hole in the firewall, which you already know I don't like doing that. Or you'd have to use Quick Connect. And that will slow things down because now you're going through a third party. You're going off to Synology, to your NAS, back to Synology, back to you.
Already doing any sort of VPN stuff is going to slow things down a certain amount. All these layers kind of magnify that.
Precisely. So what we want to do is we actually want to be able to use a Synology device so I can connect my phone and my laptop back to my home network so my traffic is always going through my home network. I trust my home network. Mm-hmm. Anybody else in that chain will see nothing but garbage. And that's what we're going to do.
All right.
But we're going to use this. We're not using the NAS. We're using the router itself. This is a Synology RT2600, if you go and go to the side or the overhead thing. This is the router that I actually use. This is my backup. This is my primary. It's a gigabit router. I love this thing. It's a quad-core Qualcomm IPQ8065. It's a 1.7 gigahertz processor. Now, it's only a 1 gigahertz in the RT1900 AC, which this replaced. It's 512 megabytes of DDR3 system memory, 4 gigabytes of flash. It's a 1 gigabit LAN port, 4 gigabit LAN ports, 1 USB 3.0 port, 1 USB 2.0 port, so you can connect various devices, you know, printers, USB drives, hard drives. You could actually use this as a NAS if you really wanted to. It's a 4x4 MIMO array, which gets ridiculous speeds if you've got 8-11 AC. Dual radios, 2.4 and 5 gigahertz. The max throughput on the 2.4 gigahertz channel is 800 megabits per second. The max throughput on the 5 gigahertz channels, which if you use 2x2 Wave 2, is 1.73 gigabits per second. And it will do beamforming. So this is a bad boy. It's going to cost you about $200. So this is definitely a higher end. But one of the things I like about it is it uses much of the same operating system. This is, for lack of a better word, just another Synology product. If you go to this computer, Burke, this is the other one. There you go. There you go. You found it. Boom. So this. It looks just like the other operating system. In fact, switch to the other computer, Burke. So this is the NAS operating system. That one is the router operating system. They deliberately made these the same. They're both Linux-based, but if you know how to drive one, you're going to be able to drive the other one. So going back to this computer, please.
Yeah, just leave it there with both of them on all at the same time.
There we go. Send this one. So I've already installed the VPN Plus server. So this was just a plug-in. This is just like installing something on a NAS. It's something that I can download for free. It doesn't cost me anything extra. But once the VPN server is in there, what I need is I need to set up users. This was just like when we set up the NAS for storage. Mm. We need to tell it who is authorized to use this.
Right.
And I don't always want to be logging in as the admin because that's bad best practices. I'm going to go to my control panel. I'm going to go to users. I'm going to go and add one. And I'm going to call it Padre SJ with the password of know-how. There you go. Now, I could, by the way, since this is a Synology product, I could enable Quick Connect, which will give me a real address. So it's an address that never changes.
Right.
I'm not going to do that for this one because I don't want people logging into the router in the middle of the show like they did last time.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
Right.
So now I'm going to go ahead and open up VPN Plus Server, and I have to do the same thing here. I have to grant that user permission because Padre SJ is down here, but he's got no permissions to access any of the VPN functions.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, yes, go ahead and access everything that you want. There you go, because it's me. But that might not be the case for everything. We're going to be using the simplest. We're going to be using the Synology SSL VPN. The reason why we like that is it's a web client. So I can, on any device, I can start that web client and have a secure connection.
Mm-hmm.
Mac, PC, Linux, doesn't matter. As long as you've got a browser that supports SSL, Secure Sockets Layer, mm-hmm. you can use this. So I'm going to apply this. And now I need to go into my settings and enable the VPN that I'm going to use. In this particular case, I'm enabling the Synology VPN. So it's going to be enabled on the local network. I want this to be able to access the local network so that I can talk to my home devices from wherever I am. I can set my encryption. I can enable split tunneling. This is actually important. If you enable split tunneling, what it tells the client, so your phone or your computer to do, is it says, if they're accessing a device that's on the network, go through the VPN.
Okay.
If they're not accessing a device on the network, just go through the public connection. You don't want that. If you're doing this for security,
you always want the VPN.
You always want the VPN. The reason why people like split tunneling is because it can be faster.
Right.
But we don't care about speed here. We care about security. So
sure.
I'm going to make sure that stays off. So there we go. Any device that connects to this VPN, it's automatically going to think that its gateway is 10.0.4.1 because that is the gateway of this particular router. So we're going to apply that. There we go. Okay, now, if you go back to my other computer.
Did you hit apply?
I'm sorry?
Did you hit apply?
I did. Yeah, thank you. So if you go back to the other computer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and log in. So this is the computer connected to the NAS. This is as if it's on the internet. It's outside of that router. So I'm going to go to HTTPS. If I was using Quick Connect, I could use like knowhow.quickconnect.to.
Right.
But in this particular case, because I don't want to let them in, I'm actually just going to use the IP address, which is 192.168.200.78. And then :443. All right, so now it's saying, oh, hey, there's something there. I'm going to go ahead and allow it through. And now it's a username and password. I just created this, Padre SJ.
That's right, Padadre.
Padadre, with knowhow as my password. If this was the first time I had ever connected, I would have to download this client. But as I have already done that, I don't have to. So I'm going to click connect. And yeah. Actually, you can go ahead and show it. It doesn't matter. So what it's doing is it's establishing a tunnel, and boom, now I am connected. Now go to the other computer, Burke. You can tell that this is working because suddenly there's a spike of traffic.
Yeah, you got the traffic coming
right
through.
And in fact, I'm going to go ahead and start up a stream on this. Let's go to Amazon, and I'm going to go ahead and start up. Let's watch something that will get us into copyright trouble because it's my last episode, and that's okay. Redline. This looks like a really good movie. It's probably, you know, my guess is it would be a takeoff of Volcano. So you can see how this is working. So I've got an upload of 1 megabit per second. I've got downloads of 1.96, and it's only going to rise. So I am streaming through my VPN back into the router and then out of the router. So
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit of mental gymnastics, but yes.
Right.
It makes sense.
But the reason why we're doing this, I want to show you what's actually happening to your traffic. Your traffic is actually going out of your device, encrypted to the router, then from the router to wherever you actually wanted to go. So I'm connecting to Amazon, but I'm not actually connecting to the Amazon. I'm connecting to the router. The router's connecting to Amazon for me.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, if you go back to the traffic, you can see it's gonna dip and wane depending on what kind of imagery is currently streaming. This is actually fun to watch because you can find out what takes the most amount of bandwidth. Like, if it's black screens,
yeah,
it's almost nothing.
Yeah.
Throw a lot of action, suddenly the bit rate goes through the
right.
roof.
Right. Yep.
There you go.
That makes a lot of sense.
Now, here's the other cool part about this. If you go to the overhead view, it's not just for desktops or laptops. There is actually an application that will work on both your iOS or Android devices. And hold on, my router was 192.168.278. That's 78. And hopefully, let's see if I put in the right password. And actually, there
you
we
can
go.
Do it.
So it's the same thing. So right now, this is completely secure.
Okay.
So when I go away, I do not ever connect to a public access point without enabling a VPN, because it will encrypt my traffic. They'll see nothing but garbage. It does mean it's slower because it's coming all the way back to the States and coming out of my home network. But I know I can trust that network, and it kind of puts my mind at ease.
And the difference here being taking traveling as an example. A lot of people, you know, that's the recommendation. If you go into a public Wi-Fi when you're traveling, use a VPN client so that you can encrypt your traffic and, you know, somebody can't snoop onto it. This is the same thing as that, except instead of using a third-party VPN service that you may or may not trust, you know that you can trust yours.
Precisely.
Because it's yours.
It's mine. So if I'm using a third party, I have to trust, A, that they're actually protecting my data.
Because
that's entirely on faith. Because once it gets to them, I have no idea what they're doing with it. They could be recording it. They could be screening it.
Right.
If I'm using my own setup, first, I'm not paying any fees. I've already bought the hardware. It belongs to me. Second, I'm using the power of the network I'm already paying for. And third, I know I've got nothing running on my network that's going to spy on me.
Right.
Unless I am actually trying to spy on myself.
Right, right.
Yeah. So there you go.
Very neat.
And again, I'm doing this through the router, but this exact same application is available on the NAS. So if you have
you can do this on just
You can.
The system over
the
there.
Reason why I like to do it at the router is because the router is what touches the internet.
Right.
So it's easiest to do it there. If I do it on the NAS, it means I have to poke a hole through the router, through
Got
the firewall,
it.
So it'll be done on the NAS. Most people don't have a problem with that. I don't like doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to keep my firewall as intact as possible.
Okay.
So there you go. Now, Jason, you'll be able to do all this stuff because you've become the new Synology contact now that I'm moving away. So Synology Madness Part 5, what do you think?
I'll do my best to follow in your footsteps, Padre.
Well, folks, we know that this has been a lot of information, but don't worry because we've got step-by-step instructions. We've got all the links to all the products that we've talked about in our show notes. Jason, where do they find those?
twit.tv/K for Know and H for How.
Oh, no, Know Howl.
Oh, maybe someday, Know Howl. When this guy's gone.
So down with
and
that.
And when Megan's done. It's going to be a while before it's Know Howl.
Also, folks, don't forget that's not the only place to find us. You can find us on the social, specifically in Google+. This is actually fun. I'm betting we're one of the only truly moderated, decently active groups on Google+.
Yeah.
And we actually love it. Go to Google+, look for Know How. There's a very short approval process. It's how we keep all the spam accounts out. That's why we're not overrun by spam like other groups. But once you're in, you get access to almost 12,000 Kitas. Those are our know-it-alls, people in every step of their Maker DIY journey. If you want to ask questions, if you want to answer questions, if you'd like to have pictures and videos of your project show up on a future episode of Know How, that's a good place to go. Of course, we also do social Tweety stuff.
Yeah. Are you going to be doing social Tweety stuff?
I am a social Tweeterfly.
When you're no longer here?
Yeah, heck yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to do. Actually, that's a lot more true than you might think. Basically taking over all the socials.
Oh, okay. You're ramping up.
I'm ramping way the heck up. But it won't be me, but it'll be me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, throw in some language in there that we would recognize.
People with funny hats. How about that?
All right.
No, just... like a couple of months from now, Pope Francis might be saying, "Yo, biznatch, I'm all about twit."
Yeah, I won't hold my breath.
Yeah.
I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter.
You can find me at PadreSJ. And you can find Jammerby at the Diamond Club. And by the way, thanks to our TD, our replacement TD today, who is Bork. I always call him
Bork.
You can find Burke at twitter.com/ForTheBurke. Bork.
Bork.
Or that.
On a personal note, this is my last live episode of Know How, but I've got two more recorded, one with you and Megan and one with a special guest, so I'm looking forward to that. It has been an absolute pleasure working with you and with Megan and with everyone here at TWiT, the entire engineering crew, the audience. It means a lot to me. I'm going to say more in the actual goodbye episode of Know How, but it has meant so much for me over the last 6.5 years to be part of this family. And Know How has been a huge part of that. So
absolutely.
For that, thank you very much, my brother.
Oh, absolutely, man.
And that you know how,
go and do it. Let's keep it classic. Bye, everybody.